Hello and welcome back to The Furnace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are we at a time when Christianity is finally going to die? Now, the world watched in shock when Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris was up in flames in 2019. This cathedral stood for 856 years as one of the most beautiful buildings ever made, a symbol of French identity, as well as an icon of Catholicism's sense of beauty and wonder. Many in the media saw it as a symbol of the death of the church itself, saying that Christianity is like Notre Dame Cathedral. It had its beauty and influence once upon a time, but now it is burning away. I know I have been tempted to think that, and perhaps you too. Are we at a time when Christianity is going to finally die? I guess to answer that, let's do some history. Now, the great Catholic historian Christopher Dawson did not like how history is traditionally structured around the distinctions of ancient, medieval, modern, and postmodern. Rather, he suggests this idea of six ages of the church, each age lasting several hundred years, and in each age there is a pattern. It begins with a period of intense spiritual activity, two, a period of epic growth, a new Christian culture emerges, new forms of life, art, and thought, and then three, a period of retreat and decline. The church is attacked from within and without, and there is a sense that Christianity is going to die. And then a new age of renewal begins. So if you don't mind, here's 2,000 years of a very oversimplified and potted church history. So the first age is the Apostolic Age. From Pentecost came the age of the apostles and their successors, as they created something absolutely new. There was spiritual creativity, and the main achievement was the successful penetration of Christianity through the dominant culture of Greece and Rome. The church's success was then overshadowed by the great persecutions, especially in the 4th century, that threatened to destroy the existence of the church itself. But that leads us to the second age, the Age of the Fathers, which begins with the conversion of the Emperor Constantine, and Rome becomes a new Christian capital. No more persecutions and widespread martyrdom. So how did the Christians witness? By going out to the desert. The monastic life began to flourish, and some of the greatest of the Christian writings came from this period. Saints Augustine, Jerome, John Chrysostom, to name a few, becoming the classical age of Christian thought. It was during this period where a lot of the fundamental doctrinal controversies were dealt with and the creeds were formed. The decline of this period came through the loss of the Christian East and the establishment of the new world power of Islam, and the church was now beset by enemies on all sides. It leads us to the third age, as we enter into the Middle Ages and the foundation of a new Christian culture. The church was the sole representative of higher culture and possessed a monopoly on all forms of literary education. We had the alliance of the Frankish monarchy, the papacy, and the Benedictine order, which was the cornerstone of the Carolingian Empire. The decline of this age was that the church became comfortable and secularized, becoming absorbed in feudal society of kings and nobles, knights and peasants, and that leads us into the fourth age, the great reforms of the Middle Ages, where there was a widespread spiritual reaction in the monastic reforms and the rise of what we call the mendicants. In comes St. Francis and St. Dominic and the rise of the great Franciscans and Dominicans. Higher education also arose as Christianity moved to establish the university system. We had Cambridge, Oxford, Paris, and Bologna. And yet despite this, the decline came in this age through the rise of new national monarchies, the great schism of papacy itself, and this age ends with the acute secularization of the Renaissance papacy, leading to the great religious revolution in what we call the Protestant Reformation, which tore Christianity into 1,000 pieces, Luther, Calvin, and the Church of England, and a few more. That leads us into the fifth age, where we have the great Counter-Reformation. Stemming from the Council of Trent, we see the rise of the Jesuits with St. Ignatius of Loyola and St. Francis Xavier, the great representative of the outburst of missionary activity to the Far East, as we also find the church in the Americas growing exponentially, especially from the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe. The Carmelites themselves have major reform, and Saints Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross led to more spiritual revival. And yet the decline came still through the Enlightenment, modernity, and the rise of secularism. God is taken out of the picture. We also had the great political and social cataclysm of the French Revolution. Monasteries, universities were destroyed, and church property confiscated. The Pope himself was deported to France as a political prisoner. And that leads us to the sixth age of the church, which began in an atmosphere of defeat and disaster. Everything needed to be rebuilt, and yet the church did recover. American Catholicism also arose during this period. But as we move into the 20th century, we have had two of the bloodiest wars in human history. We have experienced such unprecedented cultural revolution and changes in Western culture, such that it is almost impossible to be Christian today and be fervent in their faith. However, we still have saints like Mother Teresa, Saint John Paul II, Saint Faustina, and the countless hosts of many more. The question that we may ask in this age is, can we survive? One of my favourite authors, G.K. Chesterton, wrote that Christendom has had a series of revolutions, and in each one of them, Christianity has died. Christianity has died many times and risen again, for it had a God who knew the way out of the grave. That is Easter, and that is why it is always a reason why we can still hope, that Christianity has died many times and risen again, for we have a God who knows his way out of the grave. Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us, that those you are pleased to make new in holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit and come to the joys of life eternal. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.